Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. The Syracuse Jazz Festival kicks off today, Thursday, June 23rd, and continues through Saturday, June 25th in Syracuse, New York. For more information, syracusejazzfest.com. The Fruhofer Saratoga Jazz Festival in Saratoga Springs, New York, is scheduled for Saturday, June 25th and Sunday, June 26th. For more information, spac.org. One of the performers in this year's Vision Festival is violinist Jason Kuei Huang. Tonight, he performs with the dance troupe Yoshiko Chuma and the School of Hard Knocks, and on Saturday, June 25th, with his Myths of Origin. For more information, artsforart.org. In Chicago, Illinois tonight, The Legacy Project with the Chico Freeman Orchestra, the premiere of an original suite that honors saxophonist Freeman's family at the University of Chicago's Logan Center. Special guest will be his uncle, guitarist George Freeman. For more information, arts.uchicago.edu. Also performing in Chicago tonight at Elastic, two groups. Making their debut as a duo, vocalist Francesca Janice and percussionist Vincent Davis. And making their debut as a trio, vocals and on electronics, Carol Giannetti, saxophonist Luke Mosley, and on electronics, Norman W. Long. For more information, elasticarts.org. At Birdland in New York City, inside of Birdland Theater tonight, June 23rd through the 26th, drummer Allison Miller and pianist Carmen Staff celebrating their new release with guests, Nearness. And on June 28th, vocalist Gabrielle Stravelli and her trio. And inside of Birdland Club, saxophonist Ron Apria and his big band with a tribute to Frank Foster. For more information, birdlandjazz.com. Tonight, Thursday, June 23rd, at 7 p.m., bassist Michael Bizio and vocalist Timothy Hill perform at the Lace Mill in Kingston, New York. For more information, Bizio@earthlink.net. Guitarist Dave Stryker and his trio are on tour with Steely Dan, part of its Earth After Hours tour. They perform in Syracuse, New York tonight, Jones Beach, New York on June 29th, and Bethel Woods, New York on July 3rd. For more information, SteelyDan.com. This Friday and Saturday night, June 24th and June 25th, at the Jazz Forum in Tarrytown, New York, solo piano by Michelle Camilo for two sets. And on Sunday, June 26th for two sets, vocalist Tony Jefferson. For more information, jazzforumarts.org. Guitarist, composer, and oud player Gordon Gradina and his Nomad Trio begin an 8-city tour in the United States and Canada, celebrating their new release, Boiling Point. Tomorrow night, they're at the Toronto Tone Festival in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. On Saturday, they're at Constellation in Chicago, Illinois. And on Monday, June 27th, they're at Drome in New York City. For more information, gordongradina.bandcamp.com. Vibraphonist Joel Ross performs at The Cube in Detroit, Michigan on Saturday, June 25th. His new Blue Note release is The Parable of the Poet. For more information, iPlayVibes.com. Pianist and composer Armin Danilian performs at Gateways Inn in Lenox, Massachusetts on Saturday, June 25th with trumpeter Chris Payson at 6 p.m. For more information, gatewaysinn.com. The Creative Music Studios Improvisers Orchestra performs at the Shirt Factory on Sunday, June 26th in Kingston, New York. For more information, chrispayson.com. And Jazz Sundays at the Falcon in Marlborough, New York. This Sunday, June 26th at 7 p.m., bassist Ben Allison's Moments Inside. For more information, liveatthefalcon.com. And now for new releases. Coming out tomorrow, Friday, June 24th, vocalist Ella Fitzgerald's Ella at the Hollywood Bowl, the Irving Berlin songbook on Verve, and vocalist Jacob Chung's Epistle on Three Pines. Other new releases out now. Guitarist John Stein's Lifeline on Wayland City Sound, trumpeter Jason Palmer's Live from Summit Rock in Seneca Village, and saxophonist Abraham Burton and drummer Eric McPherson's The Summit Rock Session at Seneca Village, both on Giant Steps. Pianist Rafael Greco's Dice Que Vive, Sounds of Life on Blue Canoe. And Heroes Are Gang Leaders with Leur Autoreography on 577. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger.
Sure.
Sounds great.
All right, ready to rock and roll? I guess that's a yes, okay.
Yeah. All right.
My guests are members of the Toronto, Ontario, Canada group, Queen Kong. Drummer, percussionist, and vocalist, Laurie Wolfe. Guitarist, Graham Campbell. And cellist, Beth Silver. Their self-release with the other five members of Queen Kong is Frey. So I want to thank you all for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
It's nice to be here. Thank you.
I read that you just finished up the Jewish Music Week in Toronto. Tell us what we missed.
Jewish Music Week was the week of, I can't tell you what week it was. We played on the 26th and the 27th, which was cool because initially we had a gig on the 26th. That was just something we had booked. And on the 27th, they wanted us to perform, but they had a radius clause that says that you can't perform outside of our gig, yep, a certain radius, because, you know, they want people coming to their show.
Yep.
So like, oh, we already have this gig book. So they agreed to they put their name on our show. So it turned into like a 2-day CD launch at the Toronto Jewish Music Week. So that was pretty neat. And so the first one was at night, they didn't sell tickets, but they had like reservations and it was a packed house and everyone played really well. And the second performance was at Toronto's Rex. I don't know if you've heard of the Rex, but it's our jazz club. It's one of the more prominent jazz clubs in Toronto. And we played in the afternoon, which was great for people who can't make it out at night because, you know, they don't feel comfortable or whatever. So yeah, they are both really beautiful performances. And we got to use two different clarinetists. The first night was John Williams, who's in the band. And the second one was a sub named Majid Sakar, who's a Syrian. He came into town a few years ago and he adds a really neat edgy kind of Middle Eastern vibe to the band. So it was a pleasure to have both of them.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Laurie. Beth or Graham, do you have anything to add to that?
No, Lori pretty much summed it up.
What was the reaction from the crowd as you played music from your new release, Frey?
Great. Zorn's music is really catchy and fun to listen to. And I mean, Masada is, well, to me. there are some crazier Zorn pieces, but I stuck to the more melodic ones. And, you know, I'm behind the drum set a lot, so I miss a lot of the audience reaction. Graham's closer, maybe he can tell you. He's closer to the action.
I saw a lot of happy expressions on people's faces.
Beth, do you want to say something? Or
I can only speak for the first show because I wasn't actually playing the second. I'm just a guest in the band. But on the first show, Laura, you added some klezmer repertoire.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We like to end the shows with like going back to the roots and playing some traditional klezmer stuff.
Yeah. So Queen Kong takes its cue from saxophonist and composer, label owner, and concert curator John Zorn. What is it about him that sparks Queen Kong?
Well, I liked how he took a familiar sound that I grew up with and really moved it forward into the 20th century, which is when he started it, and I guess the 21st century now. It was my first foray into my own kind of music exploration. And I just love the driving beat. I love the soulful way, I love the soulful scales, how they managed to keep that cantorial element and all the ornaments and trills and just the way the music moves through a Jewish sound and add like an Ornette Coleman vibe to it.
And Beth, for you.
Oh, well, I'm not actually, I'm a guest in the band. So it's very fun to be playing some of John Zorn's repertoire. I was actually less familiar to John Zorn's repertoire when I first came in. I am less of a jazz player, coming more from a classical background, but have been able, Toronto's a really unique scene in that it's big enough that we can diversify, but small enough that we can also diversify as freelancing musicians. So it's been a really unique opportunity. I sort of got into playing Laurie's music more from coming from the Jewish music side. Been playing Jewish music for the last couple of years, and John Zorn is a really big influential name in terms of bringing Jewish music into the 21st century and sort of combining it with jazz.
Also, one of my favorite Masada groups is the Masada String Quartet, and I just love the way the cello sounds and the way he's arranged for strings. And Beth is a no-brainer. She studied klezmer music extensively. She's been to Armenia. She's played on and arranged music for Yiddish Glory, which is a Grammy-nominated Yiddish recording. You can look into that. It's very interesting. Unearthed old klezmer music of the resistance from World War II. And she was an arranger and performer on that record. And so she really has the style down and she's a great improviser. So it's really an honor to have Beth on the recording and also playing with us whenever
thanks, Laurie.
It's once to seven people.
This is actually, and this is a, Queen Kong is a really fun opportunity to also, because it is, so it's taking all this Jewish music or this Jewish style and styles of ornamentation, styles of, you know, phrasing. What else is there about Jewish style that you could talk about besides just, I mean, Jewish performance practice, basically. Sorry, I say Jewish and I mean more specifically klezmer, so secular Ashkenazi music, and applying it in a way that's like jazzy as opposed to just a little bit more jazzy than traditional, and a little bit more jazz. I mean, like, I don't know, whatever influences my playing would be like classical music, blah, 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 blah. But in Laurie's band, it's really a cool opportunity to bring the traditional music into the jazz side. So that's what Laurie's project is, unique in that way compared to all of the other Jewish projects that I've been part of.
Yeah, and Beth has like monster classical chops and a huge span all over her, and like also brings a lot of those cool classical techniques of like I don't know what they're called. You know, when you do things other than just do this, you know, you bang on it and you get all sorts of textures on the cello strings, and it's a, you know, it's a very textured approach. And I like that a lot. It really, it adds a lot of dimension to the music.
Oh, thanks, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Graham's great too. Graham is actually the guy who brings, he's the, I'm Mark Rebo of the band. He's our Mark. He brings a lot of the same expertise and masterful playing. And well, everyone does that, or they wouldn't be in the group. But he's also a fantastic improviser, and also like knows a lot about sound, and has a like this incredible collection of things to step on that I don't know anything about.
When I joined the band, Lori and I had a lot of discussions about what the guitar was going to do and what my sounds would be and what the role of the guitar would be. And unlike Lori and Beth, I don't have a background in Jewish music, and I didn't grow up with it. My background is in jazz and in rock. And so Lori wanted me to bring those influences into the band. So it's been a really fun project to experiment with that within the context of Jewish music, which I've learned a lot about since joining the band.
Cello, Lori on drums. Their instruments are traditional klezmer instruments. Graham, like the tuba replacing the double bass in the early 20th century of the United States, the guitar was introduced alongside the lute. And you've just said you grew up learning jazz. Mm-hmm. When were you introduced to klezmer music? Was it when you joined Queen Kong?
I'd say traditional klezmer music, yes. I'd heard it before, but I hadn't really studied it or paid close attention until I joined Queen Kong. I was familiar with the music of John Zorn before I joined Queen Kong, but I think in my mind I didn't think about where that it was coming from the Jewish tradition. It was just mm-hmm. John Zorn, kind of his own in his own little unique world. So it's been really interesting to learn more about traditional klezmer and see how it's evolved and how people like John Zorn have kind of taken it into the 21st century.
And the cool thing about Zorn is that he manages to do it without sounding contrived. And you'll hear a lot of people who try to mix genres, and it really just it's like oil and water. They don't really sit well together. They don't sound complimentary. He does it so naturally. Like it was just like a natural growth of the style and, you know, shooting off into that direction. It sounds right. And that's what I was going for when I was trying to write the music. I was trying to write music that didn't, you know, sloppily shove one genre into another and force it together. That was what I was going for.
Has being members of Queen Kong deepened your understanding of and belief in the Jewish faith and tradition?
Well, it's connected me to my youth a lot. I grew up in a Jewish day school system where every morning we would pray and we would sing together. I didn't know that people didn't do that in the morning. And we get up and the, you know, the draw for me wasn't the prayers as much as the melodies. And, you know, I'd sing every morning, we'd sing and then we'd meditate. It was cool. And I also didn't know it wasn't normal to not break into song at dinner. We would sing a lot. So in that, it's brought me back to my youth there. It's also helped me bridge some divides between me and other members of the Jewish community. You know, it's been helpful in bringing uptown to downtown in a way. So people will come, oh, well, there's Jewish music downtown. We can go see it. We can feel comfortable with it. So yeah, that in that sense, yeah. But, you know, it never really left me. This is just a natural extension of who I am. You know, I grew up fairly religious and I'm not as adherent as I used to be, but, you know, I certainly identify as a Jewish person proudly. And it's something I bring to everyone as part of the Queen Kong experience.
Yeah. Graham.
Yes.
Are you more Jewish now, Graham?
Am I more Jewish?
Graham's actually also in my Jewish wedding band, and he knows more about Jewish culture right now than probably 90% of North Americans. He knows what a chuppah is. He knows what a bedekin is. He can talk about a tish. It's cool. And I did it.
Actually, that is something that I want to congratulate Lori on. She's sort of known in the Toronto klezmer world as somebody who really gets the community involved and really gets people involved, whether they are musicians or amateurs. Sorry, I say musicians. Amateurs can be musicians. I meant professional musicians or amateurs. And she really brings people who might have not come from such a Jewish background into her bands and really helps educate them, bring them into Jewish music. So in that sense, the Toronto Jewish music scene in general sort of has a lot of influences in it because it has so many people coming from these different backgrounds, but really it's Lori sort of responsible for bringing them all together. So.
Yeah, and the fun thing about Jewish music, like a lot of people don't have a relationship with the religious aspect of being Jewish, and this is one of the things that is interesting about Judaism. Is that if you're Jewish, you're not necessarily a religious person and you're still Jewish. Well, if you're calling yourself a Christian, there's a certain, you know, you can't be a cultural Christian, you know, but people can be culturally Jewish where they speak a little bit of Yiddish and, you know, it's kind of a tradition of being a secular Jewish person that's come out of Yiddish culture.
Who was it who said that being Jewish is an ethnicity? There was that was a long time ago, but basically Judaism can often be referred to as an ethnicity as opposed to a religion. I wasn't really going to say anything from that. You can elaborate.
Yeah, so, you know, you can identify as a Jewish person and not practice any sort of religious anything and come to your Jewish heritage through music. And a lot of people have done that. So in a way, like I've brought people into a more Jewish identity, not through religion, but through the practice of the music. And that's very satisfying.
And that's when I came to Jewish music, I had sort of grown up Jewish, similarly to Lori, grown up in a very observant, reform, but observant household. And I didn't really relate to the Jewish community as much anymore, but I missed certain aspects of it. I no longer belonged to a synagogue, really, because I left for university. I sort of found my community in musicians rather than in the Jewish people as I had growing up. And I really missed Judaism. I missed the Jewish culture. So this has been a really nice way to return to it and bring those elements that I miss back, but maybe sort of leave out some of the, you know, maybe I don't subscribe to, you know, certain spiritual practices and things like that. For instance, in traditional Jewish music and Hasidism, where a lot of this came from, it was not that you wouldn't be able to play music if you were a woman, period. So yeah. This is, you know, here's an example of us bringing it into the 21st century. Yeah. And because Toronto's Jewish scene is fairly limited, like there aren't that as many amazing Jewish bands or just even Jewish opportunities to play Jewish music, I should say, as there are in Brooklyn or Philadelphia or even some parts of Europe. And Laurie's band is one of those unique opportunities.
Well, thank you very much. I was going to also mention that, so for this Jewish wedding band that I run, I'm often up against, like, you know, for example, I'm planning a wedding very soon, and they want a vocalist, and I have a male vocalist that I use, and I, you know, for an Orthodox wedding, like, I wouldn't even bring up that I have a female vocalist. There's no point. They don't want females singing, and I think I've just broken through the barrier of having females performing on stage at all. And I'm actually it's beautiful, full circle. I'm coming back to perform for a wedding at a synagogue where I was once told I couldn't play when I was a kid, when I would jump on the instruments at these parties that are like, get off, can't play. But now I'm performing at these synagogues quite regularly, which is cool. So they've come a long way. We've all come a long way. It's a nice way to kind of gently bring things forward.
I guess I'll just add that since, you know, as a non-Jewish person playing Jewish music, I think music is one of the things that can really connect different cultures. And of course, I grew up with Jewish friends and my parents have lots of Jewish friends. And I think through learning the music and the culture, it just kind of helps people understand each other more, and it helps cultures respect each other. And I think that's one of the really cool things about definitely a place like Toronto, where you have lots of different cultures. You know, through the music and through arts, we're all just learning to respect and appreciate each other.
Yeah, and you know, downtown Toronto has been a great incubator for that. There's been some very cool key players whose like mandate it has been to bring people together through music and culture specifically. So you know, I can name a few if you wish, but it's been quite a pleasant journey these past 5 years with Queen Kong, like meeting all sorts of musicians from every corner of the world. And this is where it happens. This is in Toronto and places like New York. And their MO is to just make people more connected. And that's been my downtown experience.
Okay. Laurie, you've led Queen Kong since its creation in 2019. A year before that, you were one of the founders of the Toronto Klezmer Society. Mm-hmm. Did you and co-founder Christopher Weatherstone sense a desire for this music to be heard more of in public, or was it more of an outlet for Klezmer players like yourselves?
Well, it was a bit of both. Chris and I both attended Klez Canada, which runs out of just 2 hours north of Quebec in the Laurentians. It's a camp that convenes once a year. I met him there, and when we got back to Toronto, he expressed interest in starting this exactly. He called it Klezmer Society Toronto for some reason. And he found that Jerome was willing to host monthly jams. And we started and we just waited to see what would happen. And the response was terrific. It was suggested to us to start this by Michael Winograd, who's out of Brooklyn. You may have heard of him. He's coming to the Jazz Festival too with his band. He's the curator of the greatest Klezmer band names using puns. So it was his suggestion that we start this. And it just went on from there. And after a while, Chris made his exit and I took it over, because it just kind of rolled along on its own and people wanted to do it. It's very easy to run things when you have enthusiastic participants.
All right, lightning round. In one sentence from each of you, what is meant by the term radical Jewish culture?
When I want to think of radical Jewish culture, I think of what I listened to in the 90s and the aughts and what's coming out right now, where you can listen to a piece of music and think, that sounds like Jewish music, but I don't really know why. And that's because it's evolved. And it came out of like a downtown Manhattan scene, pushed forward by Frank London and John Zorn, Dave Douglas, et cetera. That's my lightning sound.
I guess I'll go next. I would say radical Jewish culture is just, I guess this can apply to any culture, but just being grounded in the culture, but also being free to explore. And
good one.
I think that Laurie and Graham summed it up. I was just going to say I associate it with John Zorn immediately, just as my thought. But that's just because that I've heard that description used for his music so much.
Information, queenkongtoronto.com. Listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com, info@wgxc.org, feedback@wgxc.org, or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291. WGXC. Our website is WGXC.org. And now for some music.
Thank you.
from Montreal, Canada-based guitarist Greg Amaralt. We took a selection from his 2021 self-release, News Blues. We heard Song for Nova Scotia, where he's originally from. Greg Amaralt is joined by Steve Amaralt on piano, Adrian Vidotti on bass, and Jim Dokas on drums. Before that, from guitarist Margaret Slavik's comeback release, Ballad for Brad, on Slavik Music, we heard The Answer Within. She's joined by bassist Harvey S. and drummer Michael Sarin. Slavik is back to playing after facing years of rehabilitation after a car accident in 2003. Guitarist Dave Stryker with a string quartet for Dreams Are Real, from his Strike Zone release of this year, As We Are. Stryker is now on tour with Steely Dan. For more information, DaveStryker.com. And from guitarist, composer, and arranger Lance Conrad with his new self-release, Home. We heard Handwriting with Barclay Moffitt on saxophone, Peter Jemis on bass, and Mark Valdez on drums. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. We appreciate your feedback. Feedback@wgxc.org or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Thank you.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.